I can assure the church that I'm not going to, when the Lord gets her where she wants her, anything that I do is not going to affect her. She'll get in a place that she's not going to know what's going on. She's not going to know who's around her. And she'll get to that place, but she's got to get her heart broke before the good Lord can fix it. So I'm confident that He will. So I've got a short message I'm going to try to get across. It probably won't be very long. I've tried to study. We had a little bit of a hectic night last night. So anyway, with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to get it across to you as best I can. Hopefully it'll help somebody. But I'd encourage the church at any time, if you feel God passed by and you need to testify, don't put it off. Do what He wants you to do. If He wants you to come up and pray, do that. That's so important, because if He's lost, don't hear that. We're the mouthpiece. The church is the mouthpiece. It don't come from up here. Testifying is so important. If He passes by, obey. Don't sit there in your seat. If you do, you'll be taken to punishment later. What I've got on my heart is disobedience. That's what I have. That's what stuck. It's really stuck with me. I've got some scriptures here, not a ton, but I'm going to bounce around just a little bit. And I'm going to start in Romans 8 and 26. If you want to read along. Here we go. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God for that, because there's a lot of times we'll try to kneel and pray. We don't really know what we need or what we're asking for. Most of the time you really don't, but God does. He knows your need before you ask for it. He knows you're going to come to Him. So that's wonderful. That's a blessing this morning. So we're going to jump over to 38, Romans 8 and 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. No matter what you do in this life, no matter how you live, no matter what you've done or you think you aren't good enough, whatever, isn't it amazing to know that you can't get away from the love of God? You can't get away from it. Can't escape it. Even if you want to, He's long-suffering. You're not going to get away from the love of God. Now, we all know God's love, but that's the problem today. He's not just love. There's a wrath, there's a just side of God. So that's where the disobedience I want to talk about just for a few minutes of time. We're going to get into that just a little bit, if the Lord will help me here. Living in disobedience, that's the hard part. This little girl here, she's got to get her heart right, and I'm confident that she will. But when the Lord's doing His work and she gets to the right place, it's not going to matter around her. She will have no clue if you're singing and shouting. She's not going to know. You're not going to interrupt that work. You're not going to interfere with God's work. I would tell you, if you feel like you need to talk to her or whatever, that's fine. But if you don't, stay away. Leave her alone. Let God work. The altar's a great place to be, and it's a great place to pray. But God's everywhere. He'll save you. If you haven't been saved, He'll save you anywhere. And offers where you create it, where you make it. Anywhere. Listen to people's testimonies. That's why, listen, it's so important. If God's passing by, listen to Him. Because you'll think, oh no, I don't know if He's rich. Should I? Yeah, you should. Because there's somebody that you're probably going to help in your testimony. When you stand up and you testify, these ones that are lost, number one, when they do get saved, they're going to know exactly what they've got. If we don't testify as a church, we don't do our part, when these little ones do get saved, they may question it. They may think, man, I don't know, is that enough? Well, that's Satan's job. He's going to come in, he's going to do a wonderful work on His part. Make you doubt what you got. Make you wonder this or wonder that or whatever. Testimony is very important. So important. So if you feel God passing by, I would urge you to follow Him. Don't run from Him. Run towards Him. Go towards God. It's so important. Living in disobedience, I can use me for disobedience. When I got saved, I went from being in terrible trouble. Got saved, but you mean here's what's great about our way, the way we teach and preach. Nobody needs to tell you that you've been saved. Nobody's got to say, "Hey, did you do this?" There's none of that. When you're saved, as much as you, what Satan's going to maybe make you doubt it or whatever, really deep down, you know, nobody's got to tell you that something happened. There's been a change. I was really young when I got saved. I say really young. To be honest with you, I don't know how old I was. And that was a device Satan used on me for years. Years he used it. The problem is, when I got saved, I kind of spit it out just enough that it got it off me. And I told it without telling it. That may sound crazy, but I kind of told it without telling it. I said, "Now we're all okay." That was just, I wanted to tell people. They'd come. I remember people come when I was, after I'd been saved, they'd want to come talk to me. And I think I just busted at the seams and want to tell them, but for whatever reason, Satan would just keep me from doing it. He'd keep me quiet. He'd keep me shut up. But the thing is, me keeping that bottled up for years, boy, did he use that. He used that against me for a long time because I didn't tell it, because I kept it quiet. It would have been so much easier if I'd have just expressed it and told somebody. So anyway, got saved and basically went back to being a little boy. Could go to sleep at night. Didn't have a worry in the world. I'm talking about had good services. I kind of took my place in service and went to other churches, and I kind of felt more at liberty there because they didn't really know me. They didn't know my position. I knew I'd been saved, and I thought, "I'm going to take part in service." So I did. Everything was good. And then the Lord called me to preach. And I thought, I remember just like that, I was like, "I cannot do this." Now I can sell a ketchup popsicle to a man in a white suit. I mean, I can talk to anybody. But this has been by far the hardest thing I've ever had to do, because it's no joke. This is real. It's heaven or hell. It's life or death. I can't tell you enough how important it. I beg the church at any point to testify and do what the Lord has for you to do. As we all know, it's been told by the foolishness of preaching, we try to get people to heaven. We try to point them in the right direction. We try to do the right things, but once again, what I want to really talk about is living in disobedience. That would go as far as not telling you've been saved, to not joining the church, to not acknowledging what He wants you to do. Your part. So I will tell you that. Let me tell you this. If you have a little part, it's a whole lot easier than this part. Because this is very difficult for me. Because everybody's looking at you. Everybody's got, "Well, what he say today? What he have to," you know. If you do your little part, it's pretty simple. Stand up. Do your testifying. Tell what the Lord's done for you. Get that off your chest. Because that would be, you're really living in disobedience if you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. If it's something simple and you're not doing it, you'll pay for that in some way. You're going to have to deal with it. So if you've been saved and you haven't told it, you're living in disobedience. I've been there. Personal experience. If you've been saved and you haven't joined the church, you're living in disobedience. 100%. Been there. Done that also.
been disobedient all morning. And all of a sudden, I only heard it. That was the fifth time that. I was just a young boy, man. Over here in Kentucky, going up the dirt back over the hill, old rough ass. By that far, I have to be in the church. And all of my biggest service. The formation was nothing. People, agents, players, ever, and I can always work back with people, even single. And now, I'm always just a baby. And the Lord put it on me this morning early before I even got up.
Bless you, I appreciate this. And that's what I'm talking about right there. That's his little part. That's all that was. But it's easier than this. This is the big part. This is the difficult part. This is hard for me. But that's so important. If I was a betting man, I'd be willing to bet the Lord's working on other people. But they refuse to move. And I know that because I've been there. I've been in those shoes more than one time. So, where I was at was, if you've been saved, you haven't moved to join the church, you will not get to enjoy your salvation. You will not. You might get little pieces and little parts and it's really good, but you won't get the full enjoyment of it. You just can't do it. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard to stand up and fess up and, hey, I've been saved. That's hard. I don't know why we make that so hard. But I'll assure you, that's easier than this. This is not a work that I didn't ask for this. I didn't really want this. But I was tired of living in disobedience. So after I got saved, I don't know how else to say it. Living life. Everything was going along smooth. And ever since the Lord asked me to try to do this, it's not been very good until I owned up. It's really not. I'm talking, and some of y'all could have just, it would have been easier, you know, after the night I told that, they come by, well, I've been waiting. Well, nobody told me. You know, it would have been easy. Somebody just come up and tell me, what are you waiting for? But you know what? This goes all the way back to salvation. They don't got to tell you because you already know. You already know. You don't need somebody to tell you. I wanted, and here's the deal. Be thankful. The Lord don't have to give you a sign. He don't have to give you any kind of, hey, if so-and-so does this and so-and-so. He don't have to do that. He probably will because He knows we're weak. He'll probably give you a little something, but quit asking. I remember one Sunday I thought, well, I'm gonna handle this today. If so and so song is playing when I come into church. Well, it wasn't playing right then, but the next song it was. I was like, really? I mean, is that necessary? That's kind of how I dealt with it. That's a coincidence. Is it really a coincidence? When God brushes by, it's not a coincidence. He's there. Do your little part. Do your little part. Stand up. Testify. What do you need to do? What does the church need to do? The church is what's going to get the lost to go to God. It's not coming from up here. That's not how it works. We've heard Brother Benji talk about, or I think he preached a sermon on this one time. If you're relying on somebody else, if you're asking God to get somebody else to do something, and that really stuck with me. That really stuck with me. You know, if I come in and said, well, if Brother Tim will testify in the next 2 or 3 minutes, what if he don't? That's pretty dangerous territory. What if he doesn't? Man's going to fail you every time. Every time. He's no good. We're no good. We're sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. That's all we'll ever be. Don't get puffed up. Don't think you're somebody, because you're not. We're all human beings. We all going to make mistakes. But you know what? If you'll ask God to forgive you and talk to Him, He will. Over and over and over, because He's long-suffering. And that's hard, because Paul, he's the one that said, I can't quote it, maybe one day, but everything he wanted to do or didn't want to do, he did. And he did everything that he didn't want to do. I mean, we're going to do stuff even knowing. You're going to do stuff knowing before you do it that you shouldn't do it. You're going to know before you ever do it. That's just how it works. Been there, done that. When I was... after I'd been saved and I hadn't told it, but I had kind of took my place in the service, well, then come along joining the church. Lord, that's pretty tough. And for whatever reason, I still don't know why God wants to use me, but He does. Whatever it's, if I reach one lost person, I feel like it's been worth it all. One lost person, it's been worth whatever little suffering that I've had to do. So, after being saved, then comes along joining the church. So I never really was pushed, but I've heard some good sermons on, if you're a kid and you go to that church every Sunday, it is a commandment, once you're saved, to be baptized. So Brother Brad preached a good sermon here one time. It only makes sense if you're a kid to join that church. That's the commandment. Join the church. Because that's where you're going every Sunday. You're not going to get up and go where you want to go. You're going to go where Mom and Dad takes you. So that's the commandment. And I'm trying to tell you all this because if you won't live in disobedience, life's a whole lot easier. It really is. So here's the catch 22 for me. After I told my call to preach, I've really been at peace. Again, it was like 18 years, I don't know, it was a long time, of living in disobedience. That's a long time. Some others know, but that was extremely, I'm not going to say all 18 years were hard, but it's hard to find a lot of comfort when you're living in disobedience. So if you're in that state, I would tell you to examine yourself and say, are you living in this? Is God pleased with you? Are you doing those little things He wants you to do? I'm only telling you this because I've been there. I've done it. I lived in disobedience. It's not a lot of fun. But most of the time, what we consider a big deal is really not a big deal. Satan tries to make you think. It's amazing what Satan will run through your mind. He's good at it. He's great at it. But understand that Satan's not ugly. He's beautiful. The ruler of this world. He is. That's in the Scriptures. God's in control, but the ruler of this world is Satan. Okay? Till it's all said and done and He takes it out, Satan's going to rule. I mean, look around. It's not hard to see. It's not hard at all to see. So I'm in, we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself? Do you not know yourself? The only person who knows you better than you is God. He knows you. He knows if you're supposed to do or not supposed to do, if you should join the church or should. He knows. But examine yourself. Don't take what I'm telling you or somebody else tells you. Matter of fact, don't ever take what somebody else tells you about your salvation or your membership. Don't ever let somebody tell you. Listen, when you're saved, nobody will have to tell you that. I promise you, nobody will have to tell you that. There's a sweet peace that's going to come in. Now, for me, I had heard enough testimony, which I'm trying to tell you, it's so important. I had heard so much testimony that I was no question. I was like, that's it. I mean, that's it. Could have floated. If I ever could have flew in my life, that would have been the night I could have flew around. So examine yourselves and see, am I doing what I should be doing? Because once again, this is not a job I asked for. The Lord has way more confidence in me than I have in myself. The little things are way easier than the big things. And to me, this is a big thing. This is very important. I don't want to confuse anybody. I don't want to turn anybody the wrong direction. But when God's coming to you, you go to Him. Don't go the other direction. That's the first thing Satan's going to want to do. As soon as the good Lord tries to come into your heart, Satan's going to try to push you the other way. And let me tell you, it's everywhere. It's the radio, the iPad, the phone. It's even just go playing outside with friends. Now, I'm not saying that that's all Satan's work, but that's a distraction. If God is coming to you, go to God. Don't go the other way. Just go to Him. That's all He's asking us. When He comes to you, you go to Him. Don't run from Him. Guilty, number one. So anything that I try to preach to you about, I've already done it. I'm already guilty of it. So don't run from God. Don't be disobedient. I would tell you to examine yourselves. It's in the Scriptures. I'm pretty good at constructive criticism. So, and I would talk to anybody. And if you disagree with what I'm telling you, I would love for you to pull me aside and we'll hash it out. We'll work it out. But I would encourage you to not live in disobedience. To not let God breeze by on Sunday morning. I would tell you to take that opportunity if He wants you to testify, if He wants you to talk. But now, examine yourself. Don't take it upon yourself to go, well, I need to, because I can tell you, you won't have to question God. You'll know. Now, Satan will try to get you to go, nah, that's not it. I appreciate the brother over here that stood up. He knew it. He knew it before he got to church this morning. He already knew it. I've been in those shoes more than one time. But then you get there and you think, well, I've talked to every other Sunday or whatever. If God is in it, now that's important. If God is in it, move forward with it. Don't live in disobedience. Because that's what you're doing. You're only making yourself miserable. I know this from experience. I know this from experience. I'm not telling you anything that I don't already know. So I beg you, if you have been saved and you need to join the church, take care of that. It's not that hard, because my job is going to be never ending till either the Lord comes back or I pass on. But yours is going to be short lived. So take care of business. Do what you need to do. If you need to join, if you need to tell somebody, if you need to tell the church, take care of that. Don't live in disobedience. I've been told by another young preacher that he gave me some pretty good advice. He said, stand up, speak up, and shut up. I feel like I've got my message across. I pray that you won't live in disobedience like I have. Don't walk in my shoes. I'm only trying to tell you that to help you. That's all I want to do. I want to help you. I want you to get the blessings and live at peace. Once you follow God, you'll live at peace. And there's a lot of people that know what I'm talking about. Follow God, you'll live at peace. Now, it won't forever be peaceful. There'll be things come up. And God's going to put you in a position where you need to ask for Him or you need to go to Him. But I thank the Lord, because once I've started this journey, I've really lived in peace. If I can get man out of my way to where I can actually try to preach, I'll be okay. But I get nervous. I let Satan come in, try to work on me. But if I can get man out of my way, I'm going to try to do my best for the Lord, that He'll get honor and glory. And get a song. That's all I have. I appreciate the church having confidence in me, letting me stand. I hope that it's been clear and you can understand what I'm trying to tell you, but I would beg you for something you need to do to take care of it. Don't live in disobedience. It's not a lot of fun.